New York. She arrived after 3 days of travel, and you can't get there from here. You got to go somewhere else to get there. So and she's taken an extra day in Syracuse to get all rested up before she transitions a two-hour drive over to where Aaron's house is. And I'll make that transition beginning on Thursday. So hope is supposed to be born. Hey, I'm going to send it out by Facebook. Hope is born. Where have we heard that? Wonderful name. How many's happy? Okay, all right, that's good. Today, we're going to talk about how to be happy. Anybody like any handles on how to be happy? Anybody struggle with that sometimes? Let's just be honest. Hey, we're home folk here. Hey, Richard and Colleen Knox, it's nice to have them today. And they brought their South African friends to visit. So, yeah. And Andrew and Sylvia. Nice to have them today. Give them a hand. It's nice to have you too. Everybody, so. Happiness. I've always thought, you know, if happiness is your goal in life, you'll never have it. But there's some things that we can do to really, really appreciate and enjoy happiness. Now, we all remember a song that, or maybe we all don't remember it. You remember the song, "My Sins Are Gone"? You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. A lot of you didn't know that song, but that's a real happy type song. My sins are gone. We should really, really kind of be excited about that. Let me read this next verse to you. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. Wow. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day. How about it? I want you don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to say, but do a self-evaluation. Believe me, I've had to do the same thing with me before I can talk about this and found out that I'm missing the mark a little bit, all right? Why is it that sometimes Christians, you know, whenever we can come to church on Sunday morning and we can be in the fellowship, and I must admit this is one of the friendliest churches I know of anywhere. Would you agree?
Yes.
We have a great time, particularly around morning tea. And BJ, yeah! BJ did a good job. He just happens to be down with the kids right now doing the same thing. So he's a gifted guy. But you know, we've got a lot of reasons to be happy. And when we come amongst the fellowship, it's easy to do. Then there's Monday and Tuesday. And Wednesday. We get a lot better after Wednesday. That's hump day. We start moving towards the weekend again. But can we always be swinging by the rafters? Well, no, it's probably not a good idea, particularly as you get older. Yeah. Yeah. I spread 2 meters of top dressing yesterday, and I couldn't hardly get out of bed this morning. But praise the Lord, 12 millimeter of rain fell on top of it.
Wow.
So that was good. But are we as happy as we should be as Christians? Probably not. Probably not. Could we be happier? I personally believe so. And there are some reasons that maybe we're not. It's because we've moved away from some fundamental truths of life. And we're going to look at those today. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for BJ and McKenna and their teamwork and working together today. Lord, I pray you keep your hand on these two. Use them for your glory. Even as we speak, and they're in kids' church, Lord, I pray you'd use them there as well. Now, Father, help us to focus on this subject of how to be happy. All of us can improve. I don't know anybody here that's as happy as they want to be. Perhaps we can find some principles today to help us live happier lives. I know that I can. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. How to be happy. Well, I'm going to do something you probably think is a no-no, then I'm going to explain to you why I did that. I'm going to go to the Psychological Association's comments on why we're not happy. This is secular, but, this is what they come up with. This is what you should do. Number one, avoid suspicion and resentment. Avoid suspicion and resentment. What can resentment do to you? It turns into bitterness. Bitterness can destroy us. So it says, nursing a grudge will be a major factor in happiness. So if you're holding a grudge, forget it. You're not going to be happy. Secondly, stop living in the past. No, there's nobody here that does that, right? Stop living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. Thirdly, don't waste time and energy fighting conditions that can't be changed. Oh, I've got so much more. I'm going to go through them and we're going to talk about them at length. So don't spend a lot of your time fighting things that you can't change. People are happier when they cooperate with life instead of trying to run from it. Got some interesting observations about that when we get there in just a few moments. Number four, stay involved with the world. Happiness increases when people resist the temptation to become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. Would you be prone to that when you're going through a hard time, you just withdraw from people? We'll talk about that even more. Number five, nobody here has a problem with this one. Refuse to indulge in self-pity when handed a raw deal. There's an old saying, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll eat some worms. You ever felt like that? I was going to tell you another one, but I don't think church is the right place to say that. But, all right. It refused to indulge in self-pity. It's easier for people to achieve happiness when they accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. We all go through hard times. Number six. Now, keep in mind, this is from a secular organization, psychiatric organization. Number six, cultivate old-fashioned virtues, such as love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Fancy that! A modern psychological organization suggesting old-fashioned values. They know. They know. Number seven. Stop expecting so much from yourself. when there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and a person's ability to meet the goals that he or she has set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. Yeah, inevitable. If you're expecting too much. Now, this just blew me away when I saw this, okay? Number 8. This is from a secular organization. Find something bigger to believe in. And I like this. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. A person who is wrapped up in themselves is a very small package indeed. As BJ said, there's 8 billion people in the world. And to think that you're wrapped up in yourself, how useless. Very, very small package. You'll find that at the Duke University Sociological Study in Reinventing American Education, all right? So it's called Peace of Mind. Have you heard any of these comments before? Can you tell me where we can find some of these things? Somebody hold up your Bible. It's almost like they were copying from something that was written 2,000, 4,000 years ago. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to pull out the scriptural foundation for these comments. All right, first one. Stop holding grudges and resentment. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, what's the next word? Forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So if we forgive, we can be forgiven. Do we want to talk about will he forgive if we don't? So stop holding and nursing grudges. Now, sometimes when we have a grudge, we kind of keep that in our back pocket. And we say, well, I've forgiven them, it's not a problem. But when the opportunity comes out, we pull that grudge out and we rub it a little bit, don't we? And we just nurse that thing because it makes us feel better? Worse? If you're holding a grudge, it's hard to be happy. You can't do that. Jesus says, forgive. So we got to. So, stop holding grudges or resentment. Secondly, stop living in the past. Now, folks, I know the older we get, we dwell more on our memories, don't we? Yes, we do. That's why you've always got to put something in front of you you're focusing on. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Listen, get it? One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Believe me, if the Apostle Paul wanted to remember all the bad stuff done to him, he would be totally depressed all the time. He says, forgetting those things behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something about human nature, which I'm sure you thought of, but I'm going to remind you. Does anybody here have a tendency to focus on the negative? Do you think that maybe perhaps it's a whole lot easier to remember the bad things than the good things? Try it sometime. start thinking back. All the bad things will come to mind just real quickly, but then you have to really work hard to remember the good things. I think that's part of the fall. Part of the fall is we dwell on the negative. That's the reason, you know, BJ did a good job exposing the media today. And what's true in the United States is true here as well. They're just people parroting a larger, more powerful individual with a bias.
Going to have a word with you.
But you know, I think the media knows how to sell news. So they focus on all the negatives. And guess what? We buy it. You know, I look through the Port Macquarie newspaper and it takes me about 2 minutes to get through it. There's not much to read. But most newspapers, when you read through it, there might be a section about that big on things positive, but the rest of it's negative. So why do I want to read the newspaper? Why do Christians want to read the newspaper when all of it's negative? I'm going to confess something. I do like to go to Fox News over in America to get the conservative viewpoint. And it's always Donald Trump this and Trump this and Trump this. I go to CNN and it's always attacking Trump. So, you know, all I have to do is just go whichever one and they never change. It's political mindsets on both sides, written with a bias with the same subject. Just like BJ was talking about. So if you want to get depressed, just stay in the newspapers or on the Facebook and go to news sites. Or perhaps wait until cricket season starts back and Steve Smith starts batting again, you know. So, folks, human nature is to dwell on the negative. And Paul says, press towards the mark of the high calling. He's moving forward and forgetting those things that are behind. So don't live in the past. The next one, don't waste time and energy worrying about those things that cannot be changed. All right, confession time, folks. Join with me here. How many could be categorized as a worrywart? Somebody who worries. I think there's probably a lot more that just weren't honest with us. So. Jesus says this, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Yeah. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, the one thing that most people focus on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Wow, he does, doesn't he? And I like this pointed question. Are you not of more value than they? And here's the clincher. And which of you by being anxious can add one single hour to his span of life? Chances are the anxiety will shorten your life rather than lengthening it. Research after research after research has proven anxiety will kill you. That is negative in anxiety. You got to have a little positive anxiety that will push you towards things. But negative anxiety is things we focus on and they'll destroy you. So, since we can change very little about our lives, why do we worry so much? I've used this quote before. Let's see if I can get it. Worrying is like rocking in a rocking chair. You won't get anywhere, but it'll give you something to do. Here's the next one. Stay involved with life. Far too many people isolate themselves when they're going through a difficult time. That's wrong on so many levels. I'm going to share with you a negative and a positive, both from Solomon. Proverbs 18:1, Solomon says this, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. It's a selfish thing. Did you hear that? Solomon said to isolate yourself is a selfish thing. You're seeking your own desire. He said, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. So it's not even smart to isolate yourself. And here's a good reason for not isolating yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Again from Solomon. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Last night was a lonely and quiet place around the Sullivan household. Julie's in New York, and I took the dogs down to Wingham yesterday. They're having a better holiday than we're going to have. But all of a sudden, it was quiet. I sat down and ate my meal, and Milo wasn't sitting at my feet begging. It's quiet. I didn't like it. Too quiet. That's all right. The birds were going off outside, wanting me to feed them, as Julie does. What's that? Okay. How can I top that one? Moving on. Thank you, Matt. The next one, refuse to indulge in self-pity and start feeling sorrier for yourself when life hands you sour apples. Anybody ever bit into a sour apple? Does that look like you most of the time? Poochy lip disease? Paul said in Philippians 4:11-13, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It doesn't matter. He was content. Why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, you can't do it on your own, but you don't have to. Yes, it was quiet around the Sullivan's house last night, but I slept like a baby all night long. Oh, well, I need to move away from them. I was also reading earlier in the week about the power of having enough. You know, one of the things that brings us anxiety is when we're trying to achieve, get more and more and more. You get all you can, you put it in the can, and you set on the can. More and more and more, particularly men. More and more and more. Got to do. Go, go, go. That'll drive you crazy. Folks, we got to learn the power of having enough. It sure would bring a lot of happiness to you if you do. Oh, by the way, when I'm pointing at you, I've got three of them pointing right back at me, okay? We got to be careful with that. See, every single one of us go through difficult times in our lives. Every one of us. But keep this. How we respond to negative situations, they'll either make you or they'll break you. If you respond negatively to your situation, it can destroy you. If you respond positively towards your situation, it can make you so much stronger. You get to decide the result. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, here's one of them that I really like. Cultivate old-fashioned values: love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. That's a good list, isn't it? These things can be reflected in the fruits of the Spirit. So let's read the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's go through that list again. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Aren't those things great virtues to focus on? Let me ask you, how often do we focus on those things? Now I'm going to throw out something to you that's a little bit controversial. There are certain people in the world that's setting example for Christians to follow. All right, I don't know if you saw it, but this week there was a Twitter come out with Ellen DeGeneres sitting next to George Bush. Perhaps you've seen that. Two diametrically different people couldn't exist. One is, as she calls herself, a gay liberal, and the other is a conservative ex-president. In their sitting watching a football game, having a good time together. And Ellen got crucified for that. You know what Ellen said? I try to be kind to everybody, even those who think differently than me. Duh, why aren't Christians saying that? Hello? I mean, we got it from the book. So why do we live it? Why do we have to have a gay liberal from Hollywood to tell us that? Little controversial, but very pointed. Folks, we know how to live. We know how to be happy. We just need to start doing it. Amen? Next, stop expecting too much of ourselves. All right, this is going to be big, all right? How many has high expectations of yourself? And you think you're capable of reaching those high expectations? Let me read a couple of verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. That's scripture from the New Living Translation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Do we live like that, Christians? We're supposed to count other people to be more important than we are. Do we live that way? We should. Next, find someone bigger to, someone or something bigger to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. Here's the number one verse for that, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. If we seek him first. At Garden Village, I've been studying a organization called the Blue Zones. Anybody ever heard of the Blue Zones? They do research into the areas in the world that has the highest percentage of people who live to be over 100 years old. And they're drawing out characteristics from each of them and comparing them and find they're remarkably similar. Let me tell you just a couple of them. All right, first is a good diet. Not generally what we eat. Next is exercise. Diet and exercise. Next is being really social. Not isolating yourself, but social. Having people you can depend on and trust in. And here's the big one that goes with what we're talking about. Every single group is a faith-based group. Now, it doesn't have to be Christianity, but it has to be a religious belief where somebody is bigger than you are. So this proof right here, how to be happy, you gotta have something bigger than you are. Folks, that's important right there. Now, most of you all believe in God, and I do too, and just praise the Lord. We've got him to follow, him to believe, and him to trust, and if we want truth, we can go back to his word, and we can find it, and all these kinds of things. But folks, do we live like people that we know that we can depend on God and draw strength from him? That's where our happiness comes from, is our confidence in him. So really, those people who think they're their own God are shortening their lifespan. I think a lot of people die young nowadays. All right. So there you go, how to be happier. Real quickly, stop holding grudges or resentment. Stop living in the past. Don't waste time and energy worrying about those things that cannot be changed. Stay involved with life. Refuse to indulge in self-pity and start feeling sorry for yourself when life hands you some sour apples. Cultivate old-fashioned virtues, love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Find someone bigger to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. I'll give you some homework. Read Philippians chapter 4, okay? In closing, I just want to tell you something. You know, I'm a hobby photographer, and I was out at Oxley Beach. I was going to try to catch the moon coming up outside, just past that island over there. It didn't work. That night it didn't work. But I was walking along. There was this boulder sitting out, and if you know Oxley Beach, there are several boulders, and here's this boulder. And I noticed there was just enough light to see little rocks, painted rocks, on these boulders. You've already seen this when I posted it on Facebook. I was drawn to one, and I took several photos to where I could get it. And guess what it said? For those who know what it is, don't say. That little rock on that stone said, "Don't worry, be happy." Now, obviously, this was probably painted by some children to put out, you know, just for something to do. And they put that there, and it grabbed me. Don't worry, be happy. And we've seen clinical evidence that the things to do to stop worrying and be happy. We've seen scriptural evidence that says stop worrying and be happy. Now, what are we going to do? I'll let you know when I get on airplane Thursday night, all right? So folks, we as Christians should be the happiest people in the world. No, we don't have to swing from the rafters. It's not a good idea the older you get, okay? But we should cultivate that joy within our lives. Yes, we go through difficult times. Yes, we're going to go through difficult times. But remember, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And remember that as BJ was taught, boy, what a great job he did of pointing that out. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't do what the king said. And the king got so upset that he heated the furnace up so hot it killed the people who threw him in. And finally, the king looks in. I'm going to quote the King James. He said, there's four guys there. One of them looks like the Son of God. I get tingles when I talk about that. But as we're going through the fire, remember, there's someone with us. So we have reason to be happy, even in the most difficult times. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I know we're going to be challenged on this. Probably before we put our head on a pillow tonight, we're going to be challenged. And the old flesh is going to kick in, and we're going to start probably being negative and grumbling. And well, we're just humans. But you never allowed for that. You said, crucify the flesh. Live to the Spirit. So help us to live that love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness that the Spirit empowers us to do. Father, I think as we turn our focus to a more positive, happy approach, you may just use us to reach our culture who desperately needs something happy to grab onto. Pray your hand on this church while we're gone. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't worry. Yeah.